Our Bible study then for tonight, Luke chapter 15 is where you will want to turn to. So hopefully I can adapt to our new setup. And that is, I have to tell you what's in the blanks. So hopefully I remember, although I see it great on the back wall, you all should just turn around, maybe. We'll just flip things around. That would really throw the camera off. Okay. Let's go ahead and have prayer before we jump in. Father God, thank you for the study that we've been in here now for several weeks. And there's still so much more to learn. As we begin looking at what a gospel identity is and how our identity needs to come from you through the gospel, help us to not just have an understanding of the concept, but help us to be able to see how it fits into our lives. And God, I just thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name. Amen. So Luke chapter 15, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 11, Luke 15 and verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divideth unto them his living. Let me just stop there real quick. This is unheard of. Of course, this is the prodigal son story. This is unheard of what he's doing because of their culture that they lived in, okay? He was demanding something that was totally counterculture, which was a traditional identity type of culture. We'll say more about that. Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. The parable of the prodigal son, all right? Now let me read verse 17. And when he came to himself, we'll just stop right there. When he came to himself, what exactly does that mean? He came to himself. I mean, try to picture him. He's out with the swine, okay? Now I don't know about you. But there's nothing that smells worse than a hog farm, okay? You know, I kind of grew up many years working on a dairy farm, and I'm weird, but I kind of enjoyed the smell of the barn and the cows and the hay, but how do you get used to the smell of a hog farm? You don't, and I've got to, well, when I was really little, we had neighbors that raised hogs, and you went in their house and you could smell hogs. I mean, it's just, ugh, okay? So here's this guy. He's living with the hogs. He's out in the field, sitting in the hot sun. The dirt is probably caked on him because that's where he lives, okay? Unwashed, hungry, smelly. No one would help him, the Bible says. I don't believe it means to say no one had anything to help him. Here was this nasty, dirty, smelly guy. No one wanted to help him. He's at the bottom of the bottom of the bottom of the barrel at this point. Verse 17 again, and when he came to himself, he kind of like had an aha moment. The lights came on. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, And I perish with hunger. So this thought crept into his mind that, oh, my dad. And he began, the dad that he rebelled from and ran from, didn't want anything to do with, and now this thought begins to creep into his mind. But we have to understand, this culture was built upon traditional identity, okay? If your dad was a carpenter, guess what you were when you grew up? A carpenter. If your dad's a goat herder, you're a goat herder. That's that traditional culture. For a Jewish person, you didn't get to choose which church you went to. You went where the family went, okay? And you had the rules. If you want to be a good Jew, you had to obey these rules. It was all about doing and being what everyone on the outside thought you should do and be. He rebelled against all of it. And he dove headfirst into pursuing his own individual identity. He rebelled against traditional identity and dove into his own self-defined identity. Maybe that was the precursor to modern identity. In traditional identity, though, here he is here. He rebelled and left it. With traditional identity, you don't just bounce back in. Because of the way traditional identity works. With traditional identity, there is no redemption or grace. In a church setting where it's very traditional identity, and I'm not saying one denomination or another, it can be all of them. If they rebel against our traditional identity, they went out from us because they're not of us. And that's the way they shall always be. And in some circles, there is no redemption. There is no grace. But here he is. This idea came back. Perhaps he's remembering the kindness of his father. He knows, but he also knows his walk back home will be humiliating, especially in his condition, physically. He ran from his father, and now he's wondering if he should run back to the one he ran from, kind of. How could he do that? But his pride is broken. His heart is humiliated, and he begins the trip home. That's a key point there. Mark chapter 8 and verse 35, I've read this before. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whoever shall lose his life, that's where he's at, for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And that's kind of what's going on with the prodigal son right here at this point. This is where the young man is. So let's leave him for a moment. Let's talk about his brother. Do you remember his brother? What do you remember about his brother? He was jealous. Okay. What else do you remember? Selfish. Angry. Unforgiving. Wow, you guys are so complimentary tonight, right? A hard worker. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Those are all true. Let's see what Scripture says. We're going to jump down farther to pick up his brother. Verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. Let me stop there. He's in the field. He's working. This is a traditional identity, okay? This is the family business. There's his dad, there's him, and his younger brother. And the younger brother says, I don't want anything to do with this. Rebels against it, goes off, does his own thing. Now here's the older brother. He's got twice as much work to do now. Because the younger one just took off. He's a hard worker. That was a very good observation. Verse 26, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Now let's stop there and understand what's going on. The brother returns in humiliation. The older brother's out in the field working. He hears the music, and he finds out his dad received him. That meant dad saw younger son coming and did not say, get out of here. You're not wanted around here. You made your choice. There is no room for you here anymore. Be gone, and turn his back on him. He received him. There's a lot going on in that one phrase right there. Verse 28, the brother, he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years, now listen to what he's saying in this verse. These many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. So he's saying, I have fulfilled the role of traditional identity. I've worked, I've obeyed, I've done everything that I'm supposed to do. And he's getting the party. Verse 30, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Now, this is a perfect picture of how traditional identity works. It's based on performance. Pull your weight. Do your duty. Submit to the demands of your father, your family, your culture, maybe even your church. I want us to notice this. He was living obediently and faithfully, and yet he was completely unconnected from the love of his father. There was no relationship there. The older brother was focused on duty, obeying the rules, keeping in line, towing his weight, towing everyone else's weight, picking up the slack, doing. And that's what the focus was on, but not on the love of his fathers. In other words, all rules, no relationship. That is typical traditional identity. And that's a shame when churches focus on traditional identity. All rules, no relationship. Let's go back in our passage now, back up to verse 20. And he arose, came to his father. This is the younger son. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father, it's like there's an interruption there. The son is giving his confession and his repentance. But the father said, whoa, servants, go get a robe, go kill a calf. My son's come home. Look at verse 23. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. His father saw him a long ways off. Now, I've heard some people say the father every day went out to the road and was just waiting for his son to return. Maybe. Bible doesn't say. Okay, it's a nice thought. But the father was looking, okay, a long ways off. Either he was looking or something a long ways off caught his attention. And the traditional identity of this culture would have written this son off because of what he did. He would be dead to the family. Turn your backs. He doesn't exist anymore. Maybe similar to like an Amish shunning or something. But this father was watching. He saw his son coming a long ways off. Did he recognize his son's walk? Maybe by the way he walked. Certainly didn't recognize his appearance a long way off. Okay. Maybe there's something else about him that he recognized. We don't know. Dad was doing whatever dad was doing at that moment. There was a person in the distance, and for whatever reason, the father recognized him, took off running. Just took off running to him. What a beautiful picture. The parable presents a picture here of the Father, God, waiting for the child to return. And when the child returns, the father runs to him. This son broke the rules of traditional identity. In verse 24, it says that the father fell on his son's neck and kissed him. The father broke the rules of traditional identity. Remember, that tradition said that son is dead. Have nothing to do with him. Turn your back on him. And he not only ignored that, but he didn't wait till the son got in the house, behind the house, so no one could see him. This was in public. And it didn't matter that his son smelled, okay? Didn't matter that his son was haggard looking and dirty. His father ran to him. It didn't matter. He embraced his son. This person that should have been dead to the family because he broke the rules of traditional identity, because of the choices he had made, the father ran to him and embraced him. Can you imagine the love that it must have taken to kiss filth like that? I mean, our first home we owned in Taylorville years ago when we first moved here. It was down on the East End, and it's similar to a lot of the homes in Taylorville. Okay, there was a back door. At one point, it was an outside entrance to the basement. And you go down in this basement, and there was a shower head sticking out of the floor joist. And that's where the man of the house, when he came home from work, he went right there and showered before he did anything, okay? Because he was filthy. And here's his father totally ignoring this. But keep in mind the traditional identity culture. The father's actions would be criticized for accepting this son back in. He was welcoming and showing love to what that culture would call an outcast. The son began to speak the repentance of his heart. We have to keep that as a key point here. There was repentance. And the son said unto him, verse 21, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. If all that was said was that right there, that demonstrates the son's confession and repentance of his wrongdoing. But the father said, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Now, what happened here in these two verses? Repentance brought immediate restoration. I think those are your blanks, your first one. Repentance brought immediate restoration. We cannot let that get lost on us. There's only two verses, and we can sometimes lose the most important thing when there's a lot of narrative. repentance brought restoration. But we can also say that the other way. Restoration is started by repentance. And that's how it is with our relationship with God, too. There needs to be repentance. 1 John 1:9, confess, forsake your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Son had been, he had been loved all of his life. Even when he was dead to the family, he was still loved. But this reception that he received from his Father to this, it took this love to a whole new depth. And the younger brother actually experienced and understood his Father's love in that moment. It changed him. It redefined him to come back from where he was to repent, and his Father just runs to him and welcomes him back in. That's experiencing love at a whole new level there. Let's just compare the brothers here real quickly. The older brother related to his Father through obedience, motivated by gaining blessings. The younger brother related to his Father through bondage. All these rules are so constricting, I have to get away from them. And that motivated him to break free into individual freedom. The older brother was stuck in traditional identity and viewed his Father as perhaps one to be exploited, to get gain from, to get blessings, to get praise from. In order to do that, I've got to do these things. The younger brother, his modern identity, viewed his Father as someone to escape, to get away from. Both brothers viewed their Father as something other than who he truly was. Both rebelled. One of them, the older one, internally, he was angry and bitter. The other rebelled externally. The older brother shouldered his traditional self and quietly grew angry and proud. You heard him bragging to his Father. Look at what I've done. I'm better than he is because I've done all of this and he hasn't. He thought he was better. Both brothers, though, greatly misunderstood their Father's love. I would say both needed to repent. Now, I grew up in some churches that taught we need to be like the older brother. Toe the line, obey all the rules, do all the right things. All rule, no relationship. And I'm not just talking about no relationship with people in the church. Church, spirituality, God, it was all rules and no relationship. What does Jesus teach here about gospel identity when we fail? First of all, we tend to view our relationship with him through a traditional or modern lens. So, we see ourselves as trapped in rules. God is demanding. This would be more the modern identity part of it. We've made God this tight-fisted, legalistic deity who is withholding his best from us until we give him our best. In order to get the best from God, we've got to give him our best. Or we attempt to obey and do everything that God in the church says we're supposed to do for selfish reasons. Obey to get his favor. Obey to activate those promises and blessings in the Bible. Rather than serve him just to express love and enjoy the fact that he's already given the blessings to us as his children. And we end up trying harder and harder, and our identity becomes rooted in what we do for God or others rather than what he has done for us on the cross, the gospel, okay? And we try harder and harder to do and to do more. And remember, traditional identity, how do we know how we're doing? Well, we compare ourselves with other people. Oh, they're doing more. I got to do more. And then that's when the comparisons start. And we're proud because we obey. They didn't. They broke one of the big rules in the Bible. They really sinned. We aren't like that person who hasn't obeyed and made a mess out of their lives. Look at us. We're righteous. We deserve blessings. And so when someone like that potentially were to, like the prodigal son, humble themselves, come back into repentance, and God and God's community wraps their arms around them after repentance and just loves on them, you know there will be some over here that'll be like, that is not right. They've never done that for me, and I've served God all my life, and no one's ever loved on me like that. Sounds like the prodigal son's older brother, doesn't it? We think we deserve the blessing and they deserve punishment. Now, which brother are you most like? Oh, I know, I had to ask that question. Let's look at a second aspect of the gospel identity when it comes to failure. We can receive his love without experiencing it or being transformed by it. Now, when my wife was putting that on the screen, she came to me and she said, is that right? Did you say that right? We can receive his love without experiencing it or being transformed by it. Here's what that means, and it's absolutely true. God loved us before we loved him. Before we were created, God loved us. And it's not just us that he loves. Who does he love? All men. For God so loved the world, the whole world. They haven't experienced, they haven't been transformed by it. So we can receive his love without experiencing it. But many times as Christians, traditional identity, that whole concept there, we focus on trying to become something for Jesus, produce for God, and we lose sight of what we already are in Christ. You remember that phrase earlier? All rules, no relationship. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Now, let's take it one more step. Our Father's love is experienced in repentance. That'd be our third point. Our Father's love is experienced. How do we experience it? Repentance. Just like the prodigal son. He had received love, but he never experienced it until he came back in repentance and whoa. The love of his father wrapping his arms around him and kissing him in his state, loving on him. That was love at a whole new level. He has now experienced God's love, his father's love. Failures, struggles, we all have them. And we try harder and we try harder. The gospel. We need it every day, not just when we get saved. A person who's not saved, they try harder and harder to be a good person so they can go to heaven. And we tell them, no, you just got to come to the cross. and let the gospel save you. You don't have to try to get to heaven. So then we get that gift of salvation, and what do? We keep trying harder and harder to get into God's good graces. We still need the gospel every day. That same gospel that brought us to the foot of the cross to repent of our sins. Tomorrow when we sin, we need the gospel to bring us back to the foot of the cross. More repentance and receiving more, experiencing more of God's love. We need to return to the cross, which is not the place where we get salvation. It is the place of repentance. If you are the younger brother, gospel identity says this: repent of your rebellion, run home to your father's heart. If you are the older brother, remember I asked you, which one are you more like? If you're more like the older brother, gospel identity says, repent of your self-righteousness, resolve your anger and judgmental attitude in his grace. Does God save anyone that repents? Yes, absolutely. Does God restore anyone that repents? Yes. And so should we. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was raised in traditional identity culture. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, remember? He did everything he was supposed to do. And Paul was forgetting those things in the past. The good things that he did, the mistakes that he made, forgetting the mistakes, okay? Not letting his past tell him he can't be used by God. Because his traditional identity culture would say, you can't be used by God. Look at what you've done. He's saying, I'm forgetting those things. And also forgetting the accomplishments as well. Not focusing on trying to do all the right things so that he could be accepted. What was he focused on? Jesus. He says that, here's what I focus on. I focus on, verse 14, the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, and I focus on it in Christ. Gospel identity. Jesus said this in Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you. And we can just end the verse right there, because God has something to fill in the blank after that. So let's stop there for tonight and have some time of prayer.